you if you're going through a trial as a Christian. You would get that idea from listening to some preaching. You'd also get that idea from a lot of TV preachers that everything's fine, wonderful, and you just ought to be on cloud nine most of the time, just skipping along your merry way, waiting for Jesus to come. And I wish it was that way, but it's not. And if you could read the story of the lives of those preachers or those on television, you'll find out that they started out many times very meager existence and went through a lot of trials in life. Some of the greatest preachers have gone through the greatest trials. Some of the greatest Christians have gone through some of the greatest trials. So trials are not something that Christians do not have to deal with. I was listening, if you ever listen to John Hagee, he's on our radio station as well as on Christian television, and he's got a church of something like 20,000 people down in San Antonio, Texas. And you look at that and say, my, what a tremendous ministry. I mean, my goodness, this guy has got it made. He's preaching to all these thousands of people and probably never has a problem in his life. Well, when you if you find out about his life, you'll find out when he started preaching, he was living in somebody's garage. That was it. That's where he lived. Somebody, he didn't have a place to live. He didn't have any money when he started that church. He had nothing. And somebody that he met offered him their garage for him to live in. And that's where he lived for quite a period of time. I'm sure now he lives in a nicer house and all that kind of thing. But he went through his trials and tribulations and problems just like everybody else and maybe even more than some, because it almost seems to be the ones the Lord used the most, they go through the bigger trials. And it seems to be that way. But so you think, well, why does God do this? Well, we're going to talk about that. Christian leaders most of the time don't talk about the times that they go through problems. They talk about the good things in Christ and the good things you should be enjoying and who you are in Jesus, and all that's legitimate and a very good thing. But they don't talk about the times. What do you do when things are tough? What do you do if you lose a mate? What do you do if you go through some tragedy, a car accident or something else? That doesn't mean you're less of a Christian necessarily if those things happen. These things happen for a lot of reasons, and we'll get into it in just a minute as to why. But we think we always have to be happy. We always got to put on a wonderful front, and we should never admit if we have a sickness, and we should never admit if we're going through a problem. And probably it's just the opposite, because if you study the scriptures, you'll find that King David and all those various people went through all kinds of tough times and even came to the point, including the Apostle Paul, that they'd say, Lord, take me. I want out of here. The Apostle Paul had that experience when he was preaching at a couple of times, maybe more. There's one or two recorded in the Bible. But the fact where he just gave up, he gave up hope, he said, I'm done, I'm through, I quit, take me out of here. And once or twice Jesus showed up personally, and I think he had angels show up occasionally and strengthen him. Even Jesus Christ, through the experience of the cross, had an angel strengthen him. He didn't avoid the tough time of the cross, but he did have to be strengthened by an angel in order to endure all the things he had to endure in his human body. Now, the truth is many of them had trials. And Elijah said one time, he did a great miracle upon Mount Carmel and had all the prophets of Baal slain. There was about 400 of them. And I mean, he was on top of the world, and then came Jezebel. She said, I'm going to kill you. You better, I am going to, by this time tomorrow, you're dead. So he takes off running, scared, and ends up in a cave somewhere. He had been on the top of the mountain, and now he's in a cave, and he's saying, woe is me. Lord, I guess I'm done. Take my life. Get me out of here. But then later on, if you know, the Lord did a miracle, fed him with the ravens, fed him. And then after he regained his strength, God said, okay, get over it and keep moving. I got things for you to do. And he said, I want you to go anoint this person and anoint that person and do this and that. And God said, I'm not through with you yet. And so, as they say in the commercial, shake it off and keep moving. And that's what he told him, basically. But that doesn't many times answer your problem when you're going through something. So we're going to talk about that. Now, if you follow Jesus Christ, it's a fairly normal thing that you will go through trials because there's a purpose in these things. And I want you to look in James chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to look at several scriptures real quick. And I want you to see in the scriptures what it says about going through tough times. Now, James chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, this sounds really strange when you're in a trial, but here's what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Your Bible may say diverse temptations, but that's what it means. Various trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And so on. But I'm going to get into more of that later. Look in Romans 5:3. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And don't think because you're a Christian, you're going to avoid everything that comes along. That's not the way it is. Romans 5 and verse 3. And this says, let's start in 2. By whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience, patience experience, experience hope, and so on. So that would indicate that we go through experiences as Christians that are not necessarily what we'd like to go through, but I'm going to tell you what God does sometimes. He allows you to be taken out of your comfort zone. We all like to be comfortable. We all like to have, most of us like to have a routine. We get up in the morning, we do certain things. We have lunch at a certain time, we go to bed at a certain time, we do certain activities we like, and we have a comfort zone. But I'm here to tell you that when God shows up, He takes us out of our comfort zone. That's exactly what He does. So keep that in mind. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a comfort zone. I'm just saying that there's times when God will allow something in your life to take you out of your comfort zone. And that's the times you say, why is this happening to me? What is this all about? I thought I was a Christian, all this stuff. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, we're going to see that, well, if you read the Bible, you know that people went through all kinds of trials. Being a Christian does not avoid times you may go through a trial. Chapter 12, verse 4, 1 Peter says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now we're beginning to see there are scriptures throughout the Bible about the times we go through trials and tribulations. Now, but there is a situation where many Christians go through these hardships alone and they suffer unnecessarily because, number one, they're going through it alone. And number two, they're not seeking people who can pray for them and so forth. Like Betty was saying, we need to seek people to pray for us and not be ashamed and not think we're less a Christian to call somebody up and say, "Will you pray for me? I'm going through this thing. I don't see the end of it. I need help. I need to go through this. I want to know what the Lord's doing," and so forth. Now, what God really wants to do is to take us out of our comfort zone and put us in a place where the only thing we can do is totally trust Him. Are you listening? I want to say that again. He'll take us out of our comfort zone and allow us to be put in a place where we have to trust Him. That's the only answer to the problem. All right. I'm not preaching to anybody particularly. I'm just, thank God, we all need to hear this. Now, let's go back to James again. We're pretty close here. James 1:13. James 1:13. And let's look at that quickly, and then I'll get into the heart of this thing. Now, the story is God does not tempt people. And God does not bring these various trials. He doesn't have to, and I'm going to explain why. Now, in James 1:13 it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." God does not tempt anybody with evil, wrong, sin, or any of that stuff. Any temptations do not come from God. They come from the enemy, or they come from our own nature, human nature. Don't say you're tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, that when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, etc., etc. Now, it goes on there, if you read further, it says every good thing comes from God, every bad thing basically comes from the devil or your own nature. Now, there is no question we're definitely in a battle in this life. People think they're not in a battle are not going to win the war. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the Christian, the Spirit-filled Christian life. We're in a battle. Satan's desiring to keep you in your comfort zone where you won't do what God wants you to do. And God is trying to draw us to Him where we will be obedient to Him and accomplish what He wants us to accomplish on this earth. Now, I hope you're listening because this is important. We are in a battle for who will control your life, either the Lord or Satan. It's just that simple. I'm talking about Christians. Non-Christians don't have the battle. They belong to the enemy. Before I was saved, I belonged to the enemy. I was his. I was destined for hell. There was no struggle. It was just all bad news. There wasn't any struggle about it. Wasn't any struggle trying to be good, particularly, or any of those things. Now, I want you to look in 1 John. Just keep on going to the right. Not John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, I'm telling you this for two reasons. I'm preaching this. One is to help you, and number two, you can help somebody else. Because people go through trials all the time, and we're going through more of them all the time. 1 John 2 and verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That means putting things in life before the Lord is what it's talking about. Verse 16, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." That's pretty good there. Need to underline that. Now, so we're going to go through trials. And I'm going to tell you, we'll go through trials until we become so into the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing will much faze us and we'll be obedient to God whatever comes along. If a trial comes along, we automatically, we're looking to the Lord for what He can do through this thing. He didn't bring it, but He can work through it. And that's the way it works. Now, trials are a normal part of Christian life until we come to a maturity. And I'm not sure there ever a time in this life where you don't have some type of trial or another. Because God is constantly bringing us to maturity. He's constantly preparing us for heaven. That's really what this thing's all about. He's getting us a place where we'll step right into heaven. It'll be a normal place. That's what He's trying to bring us to. Let go of the things of the world. Doesn't mean you don't have things, don't have a home, don't have things, don't have cars, don't have all this stuff. But they shouldn't have you. That shouldn't be your main focus. They should be instruments to be used to the goal of becoming mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we go through these things. Because they bring patience, they bring guidance, they bring all of these things. They didn't come from the Lord, but the Lord uses them to mature us in Him. Uses them to make us stronger in Him. If we go through the trial with Him, we'll be stronger when we come out the other side. About 16 years ago, whatever, my wife passed away, and I went through a trial. But I can tell you today, I think I'm a stronger Christian having gone through that experience. And now I know and have been able to help a lot of people going through the same experience because I know what it is. I can honestly say to somebody, if they lose somebody close to them, and now my mother is with the Lord, and I went through that experience, and I can talk to people whose mother died or whose mother is sick or whatever it is because I've gone through that experience. I can tell you, I can tell them exactly a lot of the feelings you go through, a lot of the, sometimes even times of darkness. Sometimes God allows us to go into a time of darkness. And in that time of darkness, it's designed to bring us to the light, you see. If you think about the nation of Israel, God saved them from slavery in Egypt and took them into a desert, where they had absolutely nothing. No clothes, no food, other than the clothes they had on their back and few belongings they brought with them. They had nothing. Took them into a desert. There was nothing out there. No way to make a living, no way to grow food, no way to even find water. I mean, 2.5-3 million people, He took them out in the desert. From being saved, He took them out into the desert, but He did it to get them ready for the promised land. Because in the desert, they were going to learn how to be obedient to God in the midst of trials, amidst of tribulation, amidst of lack, amidst of having nothing, amidst of having terrible emotional stress. In the midst of that whole thing, God was preparing them to be mature Christians and go into the promised land. Okay? Now, I would say God didn't even cause that desert. You know, it's an interesting thing about deserts in the world. Pretty much deserts are caused by man in a lot of instances because way back when they used to have wars, they'd go in and conquer a country and cut every tree down and take all that wood back to their land. That's one of the reasons Israel is lack of a lot of trees. Because enemies over the years came in, cut them all down, took them out of there. It's compared to the United States, there's not very many trees there. and so forth. You don't find forests like you find in certain parts of this country because man went in and cut down everything in sight and erosion took place, and pretty soon if you're in the right climate, you got a desert. And that's what way a lot of that stuff happened. So the issue is that, now listen to this, trials do not come from God, but He'll use them in your life. Where do trials come from? They come from the devil to try to get you out of the things of God, or they come because we made some dumb mistake someplace. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we cause our own problems. But the issue is you can get through those and out the other side stronger if you look to God for the answers of these things. Now, yes. Yes.
That's the first thought that comes. I'll stay home, I'll rest. I'll stay home, I'll do this. I'll stay. And that is the first trip of the enemy.
That's what he does.
Mm-hmm. The more you're away from God's temple, strength, His word, not that you can't have this at home, of course, but the more you're away from other fellow believers holding you up just by their love for you,
yes. If you've had a tough week, that's the time to come to church on Sunday morning. Because you can have somebody pray for you, you can have somebody bless you, you can worship the Lord, and so forth. Now, if you can't physically come, I understand that. But the issue is that that's what he does. Satan designs these things to take you out of the things of God. He can't stop you from going to heaven, but he can sure mess up your serving the Lord. And that's the issue. So, but God tells us, if we will focus on Him through whatever the trial is, it will not take us over. He'll not allow us to go through a trial. Sometimes He does stop. Sometimes He does shorten the duration of the trial. If we will focus on Him. If we're not focusing on Him, we're just going to go through that thing and be a mess out the other side. But He'll never allow us, a Christian, to go through a trial that's greater than you are if you focus on Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you're listening, because this is true. I'm telling you the facts. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. I always like to show you scriptures that say what I am saying, or I'm saying what the scriptures say, whichever. 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 13, and this says, and you all of you know this one, you've read it, you maybe even memorized it, there is no temptation taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Doesn't mean He'll take you totally out of it, but you'll escape the part that would totally devastate you, is really what that means. So, we're going to go through trials. the only Christian I ever heard didn't go through trials, some 90-some-odd-year-old lady, and she said, you know, I just don't think I have any trials anymore. Well, I said, hallelujah. So, anyway, and she said, I'm not tempted anymore either. And I said, well, praise God. All right. There we go. So, but the deal is you got to walk through it His way. If you don't feel like reading the Word of God, you get into the Word of God. If you don't feel like praying, you pray. If you don't feel like coming to church, you come to church. Our feelings have nothing to do with this thing. They just mess you up. What you got to do is make a choice, just like you make a choice to do certain things. Jesus made a choice to love you, knowing everything you'd ever do. So no, there isn't anybody in this room say Jesus doesn't love them, because He made a choice to do that before that you were ever born, knowing every single thing you'd ever think, do, or say. He made a choice to do it. So you can, nobody can ever say, I just don't feel like it. You may not feel like it, but it doesn't go by feelings. It goes by the choice that Jesus Christ made with the Father before the foundation of the world. Now, so the deal is you're already qualified to go through this test, or God would not allow it if you're obedient to Him. I want to say that again. Now, you're already qualified to pass the test or the trial, or He would not allow it if you're obedient to Christ. You can go through things you don't possibly think you could ever go through. But what He wants to do is bring us to a point where we're going to hold on to our faith. Sometimes you're holding on by one finger. I felt like sometimes in my Christian life, I'm just holding on, not to God's hand, just His finger. That's what's holding. I'm holding on to. But I'm going to tell you, He won't let go. Are you listening to me? And that's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. We're going to trust Him. We're going to trust Him. We're going to come out the other side. We're going to trust it's going to be okay. Now, trials reveal what's in your heart. We don't know what's in our heart sometimes. There's stuff down in there that you haven't got a clue. But when you go through some trial, that stuff may start coming up, and you're going to realize, and that's exactly what God wants to do. Bring it up so it can come out of there so He can fill it with Him. He can't fill all of your heart if part of it, it has things in there that you've hidden there that maybe don't even remember they're there. And trials will bring those things out. A lot of times I find, and I haven't got anybody in mind here, I'm just telling you this, somebody gets in a real problem, they're in the hospital or something, I go visit them, and they'll say something, there's something that I want to confess. Well, why do they do that? Why didn't they do that before that? Because they'd stuffed it down, they hadn't even thought about it. It was affecting their life like a sore, but they had covered it over and calloused it over, and it took a tremendous trial to bring that thing out where it could be cut out and dealt with. And that happens a lot of times. Or somebody's going to die, or they think they're going to die, or they're close to dying. Many times they'll reveal something that's been on their heart for years, and they just never dealt with it. They lived with that thing, and but they're smart enough to know they don't want to die with that on their heart. Are you listening to me? I'm just telling you where the rubber meets the road here. I'm telling you how it is. Don't hang on to that stuff. Don't wait till you go through a trial to have to deal with that thing. Deal with it the minute it comes to your mind. Deal with that thing. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of trials comes from our own sin that we don't confess. And that doesn't mean every time somebody's sick, they sin. I didn't say that. It's not true. People get sick just because they live in this fallen world. It's messed up sometimes. You get a virus or something, it's not necessarily because you sinned. You know, it's an interesting thing. People don't want to pray for God to heal them, but they'll sure go to a doctor and spend a fortune. Now, isn't that interesting? How people are, I don't want God to, I don't want Him to even know I'm sick, I guess. I don't know. But the issue is, He knows everything about us. He knows what's in our heart, things we don't even remember. And trials will bring that stuff out, and then it's time to deal with them. And it's an opportunity to deal with them. And then we'll grow in faith and love and through the circumstances we're in. And it'll also help us help somebody else when they're going through the same thing. You see. It'll make us want to help somebody else when we see them going through the same thing we did. And we know we've been through it, and so we know how to help somebody. It's like mentoring, or it's like learning a trade by working with somebody that's a master in the trade. And He's teaching you everything He knows. And that's what God's doing. He's trying to teach us everything He knows. And so if we don't listen, or if we avoid something God wants us, well, He'll allow us to go through the trial. He didn't bring it, but He'll allow us to go through it. And so we need to deal with those things. A trial is used by God to show us what's in our heart. And so we will deal with that and allow Him to grow us up. Now, a good example of that is the Apostle Peter. And I want you to look in Luke 22, verse 33. The Apostle Peter was one of these macho dudes that probably wrestled on Friday Night Live or something. I don't know. He was a man's man. I mean, he didn't mess with Peter because he'd fight and ask questions later. That's the kind of guy he was. And we're in Luke 22 and verse 33. And so you know this story. I won't spend a lot of time with it. Well, look at this. Let's see. Where do we want to start here? Okay. Let's look at verse 28. Luke 28 and said, "You are they who have continued with me in my trials." Jesus said He went through trials. Obviously He did. Did He do it because He sinned? No. Did they come from the Father? No. They came from the enemy and from mankind. "I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That was the plan of God for Peter and the other disciples. There it is. What a wonderful plan. Isn't it great? They're going to sit on the 12 thrones and they're going to be in the kingdom of God. And they're going to be in heaven and all this stuff. But in verse 31, you're going to have to go through a few things to get there. And that's what He's saying. "The Lord said to Simon," that's Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I'm here to tell you that Satan desires to have every Christian. Now, he can't take your salvation away from you, but he can create some problems and so forth. "But Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not through this trial." Okay? "And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." Now, incidentally, Peter wasn't saved yet. I guess you just saw that. "And when he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both into prison and to death." Oh, he said, "Man, Lord, all these other dudes here, all these other apostles, I mean, they're probably faint and run, but I'm going to be right by your side. I mean, they might bring 10,000 soldiers against you, and I'll be right there with my sword, Lord. Nothing's going to stop me. I'd never deny you. I'd give my life. I'll die before I would deny you." That's Peter. Okay? Verse 34. "The Lord said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day before you have three times denied that you even know me." Peter didn't have a clue as to what was really in his heart. He had learned to put this macho front on and not let anybody know his feelings, not let anybody know anything about him. He seemed to be very social on the outside, but he was harboring a bunch of stuff on the inside. And I don't even know if he knew who he was, but whatever. God said he was going to, and you know the story. Before the cock crowed the next morning, Peter had denied that he even knew the Lord. He was absolutely devastated. Absolutely devastated. He was lower than a snake's belly. He was ready to give it up. He said, I always want to die. I just want to die. But you know what God said to him? When you've gone through this, I want you to teach others. When you've gone through this, I want you to preach my word. When you've gone through this, I want to use you to heal people. When you've gone through this, I want you to cast out demons. When you've gone through this, I want you to start churches, and I want you to go out and preach my word, and not only here, but all the way to Rome. He said, I want you to do that. And he said, you're going to be used greatly when you get through this. You see, God knew ahead of time how he was going to feel, what he was going to say, how he was going to deny him, and all that stuff. And God said, when you get through with that, you do my work. Now I'm telling you, you may have been through it. You may be going through it. You may be going through terrible trials, the worst you ever had in your life. But I'm here to tell you, God's telling you, you can go through this, and when you come out the other side, you're going to follow me. Hallelujah. And you're going to do my will. Do I have an amen? That's what God said. And we have to realize it's not going to get too dark that God can't bring the light. It's not going to get too bad. You're not going to get too low that God can't raise you up. He went all the way into the lowest pits of hell so that nobody would go that low, so he could lift up everybody regardless of what they went through. Do you hear an amen? You see. And that's what trials, that's why they say rejoice when you're in a trial, because you're going to be stronger when you come out the other side. God's got a plan. God hasn't given up. He's got a plan in heaven, and he's got a plan now for you. He said, Peter, you're going to be on one of the 12 thrones, hallelujah, in the kingdom of God. Peter was going to deny he even knew him in the next few hours. Really interesting. The Lord knew that this is going to help him, is going to make him stronger. Look in Luke, let's see. I think it's 22:31, I hope. Let's see, what do I just add here? Well, wait a minute, I just did that one. Okay. Anyway, he knew he was going to be stronger, because that's where it says, just above that in 30, that he was going to sit on the thrones, going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and all this kind of thing. Now, only God knows your heart. You don't even know your heart. You don't even know your heart. You think you do, but you don't. You don't know what you'd do in certain situations. Only God knows. But he'll take you through. I don't care what it is. Look in Job. Go back to the Old Testament, just before Psalms. And go to Job 28 and verse 1. Job 28 and verse 1. And look at this. It says, surely there's a vein for the silver and a place for the gold where they refine it. Iron's taken out of the earth and bronze is smelted out of the stone. He sets an end to darkness and searches out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadows of death. The flood breaks out from the inhabitant upon the waters, forgotten by the foot. They're dried up. They've gone away from men. And a whole bunch of things. I won't read through this whole thing. But this is talking about the things that we go through. The darkness we go through. The hidden things that we don't know are there. And all this kind of thing. And this verse 11, he binds the floods from overflowing. And the thing that's hidden, he brings forth to life. In other words, he takes us through darkness. He takes us through caves. He takes us through hidden things. He takes us through mysteries. He takes us through these things to bring them to light in our life so that he can deal with those and he can make us stronger. And then he's going to use you to help other people. That's it. If you want to know what a trial is designed for a Christian, it's so you will go through it, come out the other side, be stronger, and God will use you to help other people. That's what this is designed for. And only God knows the heart. Look in Hebrews 4:13. And so we can't, none of us, run around bragging about how wonderful we are and how we know ourselves and all this kind of business, because it isn't true. You don't know yourself till you go through a trial. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Verse 13. I'll wait till you get there. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That says, our life's an open book to God. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every vein in your body. He knows everything in your mind. He knows everything in your will, in your emotions, in your spirit. He knows everything about you. You can't hide one bit of it from God. And when you go out the other side and become stronger in him, then start helping other people. That's what this stuff. It might be a horrible thing, something you'd never wanted, something, and so forth. Now let me tell you this. The things around you reflect what's in your heart. It's going to be a little tough, so just hang in there. The things you have in your home, the friends you have, the artwork you have on the walls, what you watch on television, what you watch in the movies, what books you read, your interest reflect what's in your heart. I didn't hear one amen. Oh, I'd heard one right there. Yes, I did. Excuse me. Got one amen on that. All right. Your activities. The issue is there peace in your heart? That's the issue. I'm almost done. Or is there chaos and uneasiness and disorder? What's in your life? You know, even though your home's in order, your heart might not be. You know, they say perfectionism, which I certainly am not. Perfectionism is a form of fear. Because you're afraid of what everybody else is going to think of you, or what God thinks, or what somebody else thinks, and you have to be perfect in everything or you won't do any of it. And that's just another part of this. You don't have peace, usually, if you're a perfectionist. There's nothing wrong with being perfectionist in certain things, and one of them is Jesus Christ. Cleaning up the outside doesn't mean the inside's clean. Jesus got upset with one group of people, and they were called Pharisees. He said, oh man, you're clean on the outside, but inside of you are dead man's bones. You can clean up the outside, nobody knows the difference. That's the only group of people that really got upset with. Those that were clean on the outside and weren't on the inside. So you can be religious on the outside and not be a Christian. You can go to church, give money, do all kinds of stuff, and not be a Christian. Now, a quick review. Where do trials and these things come from? They come from the devil. They come from our own mistakes. But God can use them. if you are an obedient Christian to Him, He'll not allow you to go through a trial that's larger than you, that's going to consume you. He will help you through it, and you'll come out the other side and be stronger. And not only will you be stronger, you'll then help people that have gone through the same type of trials. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, that's the purpose of the whole business. And I think that's in 1 Corinthians, is it not? Chapter 1, I believe. Let me look here real quick. I didn't write that one down. What's the verse? I should have written it down. Maybe it's not First Corinthians. Must be. Maybe it's Second. Well, anyway, that's what it says. Okay. First chapter, 2 Corinthians. It talks about all this kind of thing, and it says in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1, 4, you ought to underline this part of your Bible. Or we'll start with verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any way troubled by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Sometimes we suffer for other people. It says so in verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So it says, Christ suffered for us. The apostles suffered for us, which is effectual and enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So there's a lot of things about this. I'm going to finish it up next week. But I want you to know, if you're going through something, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay strong in the Word of God. Stay strong with God's people. You'll come out the other side, and you'll be stronger and able to help other people. Do I hear an amen? Let's stand before the Lord.